sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Oh, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Have your way. Have your way. Reach out and sing to Him this evening, saints. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our heart and have your way. Speak your word into our hearts and have your way.
Amen. I trust that's your desire this evening. Amen. There's only one way, and that's His way. Amen. Seems like that's the hardest thing to learn sometimes is getting into His way and His will. Seems like we always seem to think we can do things a little bit better, but we always end up coming back to His way, and His way is always true and always the right way. Amen. I just love Him so much. Trust you're glad to be here this evening. I tell you what, my soul is still bubbling over from this morning. I was just totally blessed by what the Lord brought to us this morning, and I'm just really looking forward to what He's got to say to us this evening. And it's good to see each and every one of you here. I know we got a snack going on this evening, but we're getting ready to have the main course here. How many come to eat? Amen. So let's just pull up under the table tonight and let's just dine on the manna that the Lord is going to lay out in front of us. And I know if you come expecting great things is going to happen. So let's just sing that song, QFC, Come and Dine.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people to come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called the desire. Bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Amen.
Amen. One thing's for certain is two things that you can always be assured of. I've never had a bad potluck dinner at a Southern church. And I've never had a bad meal that the Lord has served up either. Amen. Don't He just make you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy to be here? I see a lot of smiles, so we must all be happy. Amen. Let's sing that song. Everybody will be happy over there.
Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song, and everybody will be happy over there. Oh, and everybody happy, we'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, we will hear nobody pray and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy. Oh. we'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. I love this. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. Praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
David, I'm thankful that we don't have to wait till we get over there to be happy. We can be happy right here. Yes, we're going to have troubles. Yes, we're going to have sickness. Yes, there's going to be times that you wonder if you can meet the bills. But what's the end result? The end result is eternity with the One who saved us. Amen. I get excited just thinking about it. This old world cannot hold me, Brother Andy. Let's sing that song before we take these prayer requests. Oh, how He loves you and me. Amen. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, think about it. He gave His life.
Loves me.
Amen. Such a wonderful thing to know that the Creator of all things loves us. So much that He died for us. I think it would be a great honor to have a personal invitation from a world leader to visit. You know, that would be something pretty neat. But when you stop and think about it, the Creator of the entire universe knows you on a personal level. And He's right there waiting. You got a channel direct to Him. Imagine if you had a channel direct to the President of the United States, the one they say is the most powerful man in the whole world, and you picked up the phone and, "Mr. President, I need this." But you've got a direct channel to the one that created it all. So whatever your need might be this evening, all you got to do is make that contact with the one that created it all. He's already got the answer for you. I know there's many needs among us here. Many sicknesses, financial needs, emotional needs. He's got the answer for all of them. I want to have special prayer for Matt Speckman of Logan, Ohio. He's at the ER with a severe medication reaction. It's the one we prayed over a prayer call for him last week. So let's remember Brother Matt this evening. We want to remember Sister Mary Smith in prayer. She's at home with a bad headache. We want to continue to remember Sister Molly. We want to continue to remember Sister Faye and Sister Anja as they're recovering. Also those that are traveling, the Ivies are not here, the Irishes, we want to remember them and remember our pastor. And as he's coming this evening, I know there's many unspoken requests among us. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Richard Smith if he would come and take these prayer requests before the Lord this evening. Amen. As the musicians play softly.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here again this evening, Lord. We just love you and praise your holy name, Father, and just desire to hear your word for us tonight, Lord. But we also remember that there's sick people among us, O Lord. And we just, in every situation, Lord, we just ask you just to come and meet those needs that need to be met, O Lord Jesus. We just depend on you. We praise you for all that you are and mean to us, O Lord. We need you, Lord. Yes, we need to have healing in our lives, Lord, in whatever way that healing needs to be, Lord. We just bring these requests that's been made for you, especially the special request that was made, Lord. Sister Mary's, Lord, is not feeling well tonight, and we just pray that you meet her need. Folks who have had the operations, Lord, with the hip replacement and the knee replacement, Lord, we just ask you just to continue to be with them and meet the healing, Lord, that's in the body that you put there, Lord. Just pray that it will continue to heal those the flesh, oh Lord Jesus. We just thank you for that word, Lord. We're looking forward to it now. For more of your word, Lord, the feast that our pastor, Lord, will bring to us. We just thank you for all our precious brothers and sisters, Lord. We love each and every one of them, Lord, and just so thankful that we're all able to be gathered together here, Lord. And for those that aren't here, Lord, we just pray that you'd just be with them, those on the internet that's listening in, Lord. We just pray that you'd just minister them in whatever way that they need to be ministered to, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We certainly do. We just thank you for all your grace, Lord, for all your mercy. As we pray this prayer, O Lord, and it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Brother Matt's got a special for us as he's coming this evening. Just remind everyone about the church cleanup day on September the 15th. Lunch will be provided, pressure washing the outside buildings and the walkways, playground maintenance. brush trimming and basic landscape maintenance, indoor deep cleaning of the church, outdoor cleaning of the church grounds. Everyone is welcome. And if you got any basic tools such as hammers and saws, of course some good work gloves, landscaping tools, etc., certainly appreciate you bringing those. If you got any questions at all, just see one of the trustees and are looking to get started early at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, September the 15th. So make your plans to come join in. Those are always some great intense fellowship and a lot of fun, actually. And enjoy doing that. God bless you, Brother Matt.
Praise the Lord. I know you all know this, so sing it along with me. I know life is turbulent, but it's wonderful to be anchored by the fact that regardless of what happens in life, we always know all is well with our soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, and my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin in part, but the whole. It's nailed to the cross, and I'll bear it no more. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. My soul, for
To sing this song, so I'm going to try to get through it. But it says, I'm not giving up. Anybody here been to the point that they just want to give up? I have. Just this week, people say, why did you have that? You had this great testimony Wednesday night. Let me tell you something, saints. Your flesh ain't saved. And I still have my battles and I still have my struggles. But one thing I can say is the Holy Spirit comes and sets on my other shoulder. And He says, you can't give up. I bought you with a price. You're not your own. So I'm going to tell you something, saints. We've come too far to turn back now. So you just help me sing this. And you look that old devil in the eye as you're singing. Tell him, say, I'm not giving up.
Amen. Just sing it with me.
Oh, I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday will I keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Oh, I've been walking through a valley, through this veil of tears. Times I've even questioned, even if my Lord was near. That old tempter, he says, why not turn around? You can't get any farther. Oh, you're just losing ground. Oh, but I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear the shining crown. Someday, yes, I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Oh, now, would you mind to tell me there's been something bothering me? Why is it that old devil, he just won't let God's children be? You see, he has purpose and determined, and he does a pretty good job to get right in the way, to turn us from our way of life and try to lead our souls astray. But I tell him, I'm not giving up. Hallelujah. No, I'm not turning round. Oh, by the grace of God, I'll wear the shining crown. Someday, oh, I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Let's all stand and sing it with me now. No, I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear the shining crown. Someday, oh, I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand.
Ushers that come at this time, we'll receive our evening tithe and offering and get right out of the way and let Brother Barry come. Amen. Brother Mike, if you would bless the offering. Amen. As Brother Barry comes, let's just sing that old song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, as the sun. Then when we first begun. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray now that you would speak to our hearts through the word tonight. Chase away all weariness and tiredness. And may your holy presence come on the scene, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. Jesus, your name is power.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is mine. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life.
Sing it again now.
Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name is sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings life. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life.
Praise the Lord. It's good to sing. Let's go in the Bible to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's just jump right in. He that preacheth before the dinner better make haste. I appreciate Fellowship Hall that allows now the cooking to be done in a place where the fumes don't drift into my office. I'll tell you what, it's a help. On a more serious note, we'd ask you to remember Matt Speckman in prayer, and just been just a real, real difficult time for him, and he's in the hospital, and Brother John went to see him. And John said he's very troubled and just not feeling well at all. So we just sure want to hold him up in prayer. Lord willing, if we can, we'd like to visit with him and his wife and just to be able to pray with him, because it seems like it's really just going to take a divine touch for him and his life. So we'd ask you to remember that in prayer. Title of this tonight is When We All Get to Heaven. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as shall ye shall bid to the as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out and in So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king went in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Good to have Sister Karen back tonight. Cochran family back there, and we want to remember Brother John and his family. They've just been going through a tough time, sickness and so forth, and we miss them for sure. Good to have all of you here this evening. Now, we have a great group of young people. I mean a great group of young people. And they have come up with some questions that will stump the best of us. And I wanted to deal with one question tonight that they asked, and work through an answer. You're reading the question, you're not listening to what I'm saying. So why don't we just read the question together? Hello, Brother Barry, quick question. This is edited, but this is the essence. Some say the bride is, for lack of a better term, higher class in heaven than the people who go through the judgment. I can't understand a heaven where anyone would deserve to be above anyone else. Is there a political or a societal structure in heaven? I always was under the impression that it would be a monarchy with God filling all the roles of king, high priest, etc., and then the people would be equal. I just have a difficult time thinking that there would be any form of reverence owed to any people in heaven other than God. Now, in the trade, that's called a good question. There is no direct quote or no scripture, certainly, that gives us a direct answer to that question. But I will say, the short answer is, yes, there is a hierarchy in heaven. Now, I've pondered on this particular question. I've got several, but I've pondered on this particular question for a while. Even solicited the advice and counsel of other ministers, and they all basically reacted the same way when I asked them the question that it was asked me. And so, putting our collective heads together and coming up with some statements and things here, I'd like to justify my answer that yes, there is an order in heaven or an arrangement in heaven. Now, before I get there, though, I'd like to do two things. And first of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about heaven. Number one, the trouble with the world today, it's sleeping, and so many people just love to sleep. But I'll say this, there's no beds in heaven. We won't sleep when we get to heaven because there's no night there. So you won't have to sleep when you get to heaven. Huh. This is the way heaven will be, Brother Branham said in the second miracle. There'll be Germans, Finns, Italians, and even the Irish will be there. I was very thankful for that little statement there. Amen. I said, I know there's one there. They call him Michael. Yes, folks, even the Irish will be there. Brother Branham said in 1951, he says, now do that. And he's talking about fellowship. He's talking about people who have fellowship together. Have fellowship with all people, all God's children. And when we get up there, you'll find it'll be that way when we get to heaven. Just an endless fellowship. Not endless floor hockey. Endless fellowship. The boys started to pick up floor hockey sticks, you know, when they got in there in the open space and so forth. I played one time. My life has never been the same ever since. I fell. I had to have a series of x-rays, and yeah, I'm just recuperating. I take medication to stand upright, but I'll be back. Don't you worry. I'll be back. Spiritual adoption, 1956. Some people asked us, will we know each other when we get to heaven? Watch this. He said, not only will we know each other, but we'll know them whom we've never seen. So you won't have to wonder and say, wow, he looks familiar. I wonder who he is. Peter, James, and John had never seen Moses, yet they recognized him in a twinkling of an eye when they were standing under the shadow of the Almighty on Mount Transfiguration. He said, what will it be when we stand there? I'll know Sankey when I see him. I'll know his voice, though I've never heard him. I'll know Wesley, Moody, Calvin, Knox. We'll know them all when we get there. We'll take on a different aspect than what we are now. Wow, that'll be wonderful. True vine and false vine. And we're made up here all different denominations. Methodist, this early in his ministry, 1955. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Assemblies, what all. But that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. Just all be sitting right together. Don't you believe that? Sure. They're not going to have the Methodist over there and the Baptist over here. Won't be like that. But he says we'll all be able to fellowship when we get over there. We won't have denominational tags when we get over there. Everybody all right? El Shaddai, 1959. Brother, there, I want a date with each one of you people when we get over there. I want to sit down with you for 1,000 years of peace, because we ain't going to have no time constraints when we get over there. Be just a little few minutes chat, just 1,000 years of peace with you. We'll talk it over then. Be wonderful. Someone said, if you took a ball bearing, steel ball bearing, you enlarged it the size of the earth, and you took a dove, and the dove had a silk scarf, and he passed over the top of the earth and just brushed that silk scarf over that ball bearing, size of the earth. And by the time that ball bearing got to be the size of a ball bearing again, Brother Branham said, that would be the beginning of eternity. Wow. Or as my brother would say, whoa. Imagine the time. Imagine time without time. We have no idea what it's like to be without a time constraint. Angel of the Covenant. My, just wonder what it'll be like when we get up to glory and look around and see a face you recognize. When we'll all sit at one big table, all the human race that's redeemed. And just for 1,000 miles, you just see the saints sitting at this table. Look across the table from one another, and them old veterans, battle-scarred from the battle. That's the first thing we're going to do when we come into the glory land, is take the wedding supper. That's the first thing we're going to do. And Jesus said, I'll eat with you anew in my Father's kingdom. That's the first thing. So that's the order of business when we get over there. What a beautiful picture of when Rebekah came to meet Isaac, and she met him in the field and was taken into her father's tent and married, and how the food was served and so forth. He said, just as it will be this time, the wedding supper, when we get home. It'll be a glorious thing. Now, let me deal with, since we're wading into some of this, Let's just deal with this question here. Now, I don't want to be long. I remember one time a young boy was in the church, new church lobby with his father, and his father was showing him around the lobby and all the different things that were in there, and they had a plaque dedicated to people who died in service. And so the father came along and he said, this is a plaque, you know, that we put up in honor of the people who died in service. The little boy looked at his father and he said, which service, morning or evening? So, I don't want to be too long here. But let me just look in Mark chapter 12 for a moment here. The disciples ask questions about eternity. The scribes and Pharisees ask questions about eternity. There's lots of people wanting to know what it would be like there. It's kind of a natural thing. We really don't have a great deal of information about what it will be like there. But they were trying to trip Jesus up when it came to questions on marriage and divorce. And they asked him and talked to him about marriage and divorce. And Jesus answered their inquiry, and he said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And they're given Jesus a scenario, which all ministers are always asked about scenarios. Well, you know, if this brother marries a woman and then he dies and the brother takes her, and whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection and so forth. And he goes on to say in verse 26, and is touching the dead, that they rise. Have ye not read in the book of Moses how the bush spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. Because you're applying earthly principles to the heavenly place, and he says, it will not be the way that you think. Now, in using that scripture, let me just say this. Brother Branham had a conversation with his wife that he brings up in the sixth seal, which I thought was very interesting. And he says, now notice, one day my wife said to me, she said, Bill, I just want to ask you a question about heaven. And he said, all right, Mita. And she said, now you know I love you. And he said, yes, sure do. And he said, but we know that Hope loved you too, Brother Branham's first wife. And I said, yeah. And she said, I don't think I would be jealous, but Hope was. And she said, when we get to heaven, and you said you've seen her there, and I said, Brother Branham said, I've seen her there. I've seen her twice there. He said, she's there. She's waiting for me to come. And so is Sharon. And I've seen her just the same, looking at, he said, I've seen her just the same as I'm looking at you. I've seen her there. And Brother Branham then said, his wife asked him, well, now when we get over there, which one is going to be your wife? And I said, here's Brother Branham's answer to her, both of you. He said, there won't be any, yet both of you will be. She said, I can't understand that. And he said, now, honey, let me explain something to you. I know you love me, and you know how I love you in respect and honor. For instance, he said, what if I dressed up and went downtown and some little pretty woman down there come and throw her arms around me and said, oh, Brother Branham, I sure love you. He said, what would you think? And I said, I don't think I'd think very well of that. And I said, I want to ask you something. Who do you love best if it'd be a showdown, me or the Lord Jesus? And she said, well, the Lord Jesus. And she said, yes, Bill, I love you, but before I would give him up, I would give you up. And I said, thank you, honey. I'm glad to hear you say that. He said, now what if that same little woman would come up to Jesus and throw her arms around him and said, Jesus, I love you. What would you think about that? And he said, Sister Meadie said, I'd enjoy that. He said, see, it changes from filial to agapo. It's a different love. It's a higher love. And he said, and there's no such thing as husband and wife as to raise children over there. It's all gone. And the female and the male, he said, they're all the same there. And he said, there's none of it anymore. He said, just think of yourself without a sex gland. He said, the reason that we're put in here is to repopulate the earth and multiply. And he said, but there won't be any more. And he said, there'll be neither male nor female there. But he said, the statue of the art of God will be there. That's exactly right. He said, that'll be truly genuine, no filial, but just a gapo love. And therefore, a wife would be no more than just some lovely something that's there, and you belong to each other. And he said, that filial part is not even there at all. So you understand, the scribes and Pharisees were wanting to know, is it going to be just like it is here over there? And Jesus is saying, no, it's not going to be that way at all. He said, there can't be anything like a jealousy. There's nothing to be jealous about. There's no such thing over there. He says, you never know such a thing as that, just a lovely young man and lovely young women to live forever. And then she said, I see it. There are a lot of things about heaven that we don't understand. And we will have to wait until we get over there to really be able to experience it and to be able to live it. Now, back to the question. Back directly to the question here. For lack of a better term, is the bride a higher class in heaven? Or is there indeed classes at all in heaven, a hierarchy in heaven? I was always under the assumption, the person asked me here, would God fulfill all the roles of in leadership and kingship and so forth, high priest, all of that be over there, and then would all the other people be equal below that? Well, let's take a look at the answer. I believe, yes, there is a hierarchy over there. And I'm going to use two scriptures. Here's the first one that we read for our text, where Jesus gives the example in Matthew chapter 22, and he starts it out and says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage feast for his son. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Everyone who's there in that wedding event is dressed the same. We're not meant to distinguish one as being wealthy or poor or simple and plain and someone who's fancy. Not meant to be any advantage in that sense of one over the other. This person's a great person, I can tell by his attire. This person's a simple person, I can tell by his attire. Everyone getting there now, without referring strictly to natural clothing, everyone gets in there and has the right garment on, and the garment is the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at what Brother Branham says. Jesus taught this famous parable and said the wedding supper was made, every man was given a garment, and he found one man there without a garment. And the Oriental custom, when the bridegroom invited 50 people, gave out 50 robes. And he stood someone at the door, and every time a man come in, rich or poor, he put the robe on him. Then no one knew whether they were rich or poor. So there's no status like that. Rich and poor, somebody higher in society, somebody lower in society, somebody more educated, somebody lower educated. None of that. And he said he all looked the same. They all looked the same under a robe. And that's the way God does today. He gives the Holy Spirit, which is a type. And every man that he invites, we're all the same. Not this one, because a little better than that one, and that one a little higher than this one. It won't be that over there. So the garment that we'll all be wearing, the thing we'll have in common, is that we are born again. We believe the word for our day, right? And have the true, genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the thing we'll have in common all the way through. I will guarantee you that just based on my own travels and experiences in the world, hey, lots of people dress different. They sing different. They worship different, right? You go up to Brother Anmar's church up in New York, I'll guarantee you they're all sitting on the floor during church. We couldn't do that here. We couldn't do that because you know what would happen. But in Germany, when Martin Luther preached, everybody stood the whole time. We couldn't do that here either. So you think about, you know, the kinds of music and the kinds of things that people believed all through the ages, you'll find great variation all the way through. Great variation all the way through. But the thing that we have in common is the blood of Christ and the new birth and believing the word for your day, right? That's the thing we have in common. And that's what the parable is meant to convey, that everybody gets in the same way under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. How many believe that? And you're not going to get in because you're smarter or you're more wealthy or you've done great things for the kingdom. That's not how anybody gains entrance into the kingdom at all. Revelation chapter 4. Now, what do you think when the bridegroom came back and found the man sitting there without a wedding garment on? He said, "Friend, how'd you get in here?" And he stood speechless. It showed that he came some other way besides the door, but he called him friend. Showed it was a church member. And he called the porter and he said, "Bind him foot and hand and cast him into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." And it proved without the wedding garment, he came some other way besides the door, capital D. Who's the door? Christ, right? He said if he would have come by the door, he would have received a wedding garment. So there is only one way, one true and right way to come, and that's through Christ. And that's what made this other person different because he never came through that way. He said, we're all the same in the sight of God, everyone that's invited to the wedding supper. We're all the same in the sight of God, everyone that's invited to the wedding supper. You know why we're all the same? Because he looks at us through the filter of the blood of Christ. And we all stand white as snow because he looks at us through the blood of Christ. Aren't you glad for that? So remember now, this is the parable now that he gives here. And he said there's only one door to come through because that's where the garments was given out. And he said, "Friend, what you doing here? Why haven't you got a garment on?" And the man was speechless and he didn't come by the door. Every man that comes into the body of Christ receives his Holy Spirit, the robe. He's standing right there to put it on you just as soon as you come in. And that's what he's promised. That's what he does. So we get there all on the same basis, all right? And there's no person gets an extra Holy Spirit or something different other than the Holy Spirit, that's a common bond that we all have, that we gain entrance because we're all wearing the same robe. And you remain in because you have the same robe. Are we okay? Now, let's go a little bit further here. Here's the second scripture that I wanted to use to justify my answer. Now, I won't be long here tonight, so let's follow this. Revelation chapter 21. Why don't we take our Bibles and take a look here? So we're going to refer to this a couple of times here. Revelation chapter 21. Now, John is describing things coming through the book of Revelation here, and he's looking at not only the church ages, but what happens in the throne. He looks at the vials, the judgments of God being poured out, the seals being opened and so forth, comes all the way through. Looks at the judgment of the great whore, Revelation chapter 17 and 18 and so forth. Looks at the marriage supper and comes through. But then he breaks into this passage in the last two chapters here dealing with the new heavens and the new earth. And he's describing in this portion of scripture here new things. This is all new things. And he says in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. We're out now past the millennium. Okay? We're out past that, and John is describing this new heavens, new earth. He's describing eternity out here. And he carries on in verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Drop down, if you don't mind, to verse 23. John describes the city. He describes the walls. He describes the people that are there. And in verse 23, he talks about the light that's there. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And that's why Brother Bram said we need no beds there. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Hold on there. We're dealing with nations. And we're dealing with kings of the earth who bring their glory, honor, and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all day and night, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Right, let's take a look now at what Brother Branham says. I can prove that there are degrees in heaven. That they'll not all be on the same equal. In other words, everyone is not on the same equal level in heaven. But we will have equal eternal life. So based on the parable of Matthew 22, we all will have eternal life. We all got there the same way, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's how we get there. But when we get to heaven, he said, I can prove that there are degrees in heaven. And the Bible said that the kings of the earth bring their honor and glory, Revelation 22, 21 and 22, into the city. And that proves that there will be kings in the new earth, kings and rulers. Well, you can't have kings and rulers without subjects. These are the ones that come into the city and are without the gate, but come in the city. And Jesus told his disciples, we have left father and mother and all to follow you. And he said, verily I say unto you, you'll set upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in that day. So we'll have 12 thrones, and we'll have 12 tribes, and we'll have 12 elders that are judging those tribes. He said, see, it's an earthly system that's come up that'll be far supreme to anything. So just stop. Brother Branham said the same thing about education. He said there'll be an education in heaven, but it'll be far superior to what we have now. So we have an educational system, no matter what you're doing, whether it's a Christian school or public school or homeschool, we're all learning things that in a sense, are not perfect. And it's an educational system many times that, and I got to be careful here to say this correct because I don't want all you kids saying, yes. School is of no value whatsoever. I don't want you to say that. But many times we learn things that we don't always apply for the rest of our lives. Right? I have one boy who works in this field of science who has said to his mother repeatedly, in all my years as a scientist and an engineer and a mathematician, I've never had to be called upon to diagram a sentence in my life. I know I'm on shaky ground here, but I've got some kids that are saying, finally. There are, I could say a number of things here, but I'm smarter than that. So I'll just say, Brother Branham said there will be an educational system in heaven. He said it in Things That Are To Be, but it'll be far greater. He said we will even be learning and understanding the Scripture and getting revelation even out into eternity. That's an amazing thing. I know this, that, you know, when you read your Bible and you know, it talks about Jesus on the streets of Nazareth or going walking to Bethany, most of you people have never been to Israel. You look at that and you know, you have a certain picture in your mind. And when you go there, you see it. Oh, my, it's just, that's what it's like. You know, that's the way it is. Or Elijah goes up on top of Mount Carmel and he meets the prophets of Baal up there. And you see it for real. It changes your perspective altogether. Because it's very hard to imagine what it is like for real until you actually see it. Or, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus and the disciples in a ship on the Sea of Galilee. Hey, we've gone out on the Sea of Galilee. And when we take a tour and we go out there, I usually bring a sermon of Brother Branham where he's describing what it's like to be sitting in the ship on the Sea of Galilee. And he begins to describe it by the scenery all around. And he's saying, you know, there's these hills here and the water and the way the mountains are shaped and, you know, the way the sea was and the fishermen and all this kind of stuff. Brother Branham had never been there. But by revelation, because he said in the Spirit one time that he visited there, he was describing what he saw. But I will tell you, when you go there and you're actually on a ship, and you look around and you're listening to him talking about that, and you get a feel of the Sea of Galilee. It's not like just reading in a book. It's an experience that you have that makes the book kind of come alive. And when we get over to glory, I mean, we can all have a picture. And, you know, when we talk about it, it conjures up ideas that you have and perceptions that you have about heaven and eternity. When we get over there, I'll guarantee it'll be different than what you're thinking. Because the Bible says that eye is not seen and ear is not heard what's in store for God's people. And how beautiful and how wonderful it will be over there. We don't know a world without strife. And we don't know a world without pain. We don't know a world without dentists. And thank you, by the way, for all of your dental stories this afternoon that I got. I'm not alone. It'll be beyond our understanding to imagine what a world would be like without death and without suffering and sorrow. And then to get over there and to actually be able to see it. And there's no way we could say it in earthly words what it will be like. And so for Brother Brandon to say that there'll be, you know, learning go on over there, an educational system, we really have no idea what that would be like. But I will attest to this fact. It'll be better than what we do down here. It'll be more perfect than what we have down here. We won't be learning things that we will never need. We'll be learning things that we will enjoy forever. And it is obviously now we have to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We have to do what we have to do down here in this life. We have to get ahead, get a, you know, graduate and get a degree and all the rest of it and get a job. We have to provide. We have to do all of that. We can't change that just because we're Christians. We had to be faithful to that. But I will tell you this, that when we get there, it'll be far better. It'll be on a higher scale. So Brother Branham's cautioning us here. He's saying, you know, we're thinking of looking at this in an earthly way. But he said that's coming up. It'll be far supreme to anything. And in that, there'll be no sin. But yet they'll have rulers and so forth in the cities when everything will be carried on in the way of eternal life. Because Brother Branham says when we get over there, he will rule with a rod of iron. And the rod of iron will be the Word of God. So we live by the Word of God. He says, in heaven, we look at the celestial bodies, and the Bible says that even one star differs from the other. There is Sirius and the different ones, Mars, Jupiter, all these different ones, they differ one from another. And they do, don't they? I've showed you pictures of them before. They differ one from another. And the sun differs from the moon from the stars. And there's angels, and there's seraphims, and cherubims, and angels, and great angels in degrees. You remember Brother Branham said, when angels come and visit you, that's a great thing. But when Michael comes, he said, you ought to take note of that, because that's an exceptional thing. Michael only comes at the coming of Christ. And he said, that's an exceptional thing. So, in heaven, there are different degrees of angels and heavenly beings, just like that in the heavens, which are a reflection of what's in God's mind, they are all made differently and they do different things. They have different effects when they get over there. He said, now, in Things That Are To Be, 1965, Jesus has gone to make ready our coming there. And in my Father's house is many mansions. I don't believe that when we get to heaven that we will be just everybody look alike. I don't believe we'll all be blondes or brunettes or all giants. I believe that God is a God of variety. And the world proves that. He's got big mountains. He's got little mountains. He's got plains. He's got deserts. He made it the way He wanted it. And He made the seasons, summer, winter, spring, and autumn. And He made you in a variety. Look around. Right? Some men are real blusterous. Some men are real dogmatic. Others are kind. You just kind of all, he said, you just find all kinds of different people in his kingdom. All kinds of different people. You know what? No one's ahead of somebody else. And no one's behind somebody else. And no one's going to make it in quicker than someone else because you're a certain personality type. God made everybody just a little bit different, right? Your eye, your retina scan would prove that you're different than anybody else in the world. Your fingerprints prove that you're different than anybody else in the world. Your voice graph would prove that you're different than anybody else in the world. Your personality would prove that there's nobody else in the world like you. And even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth bring their honor into the city. We're always going to be that way. It's always going to be a variety. Because God is not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House. Now, a Sears and Roebuck Harmony House would be a store that was patterned exactly the same way no matter where you were. Everybody say Cracker Barrel. Right? You've been to a Cracker Barrel anywhere. You've been to one, you've been to them all. I believe you could go to Saudi Arabia and if they had a Cracker Barrel over there, it would be the same thing. That scary guy at Halloween just sitting there waiting for you to walk by, you know. And every year Steve goes over and grabs him and, you know, roughs him up and they take pictures of him and you know, they have the Christmas tree at Christmas time, and they have, you know, all the smelly candles there, and, you know, all the other things that are there. And every time you get checkout, they say, you know, how was your dinner? Fine. Do you want to have some candies and chocolate and mints for the road? And I've played their game. So I say to them every time, they ask me every time, they say the same thing, and I look at them every time, and I say, do I look like I need more candies or mints or chocolate? And they say, well, you got a point there. Sears and Roebuck Harmony House was a carbon copy of the original, and it was the same everywhere. That's not what God's intent is in heaven. That's not the way God does things. He's a God of variety. Let me tell you, the locales in this earth are very different. The mountains and the valleys and all the other things that are out there, and the variety of animal life, the variety of humankind, are all very different in the earth. He's a God of variety. He makes one way, makes another way. But we must serve Him in the way that God made us and be glad and stay behind His Word. There are some people who are, they're uber efficient. Some people are not afraid to travel and go out and go to new places. And some of you, I could just, you know, you just unhitch the leash and gone. And there's other people that would say, if I asked you, said, you know, how about going, you know, going on a trip? Oh, I couldn't do that. It'd be the last thing I'd think of is going somewhere else. Because they wouldn't have a Cracker Barrel over there. So there's no way I could go. But you must serve Him in the way that God made you. And be glad. And stay behind His Word. Every one of us have to do that. And that's the way that God did it. Some of you are musical. Some of you only know how to spell the word. Right? And that's just the way it is. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it's hard to change. It's hard to break out and become something different than what God made you. And I will tell you that God does not want you to pattern your life after someone else. God wants you to pattern your life after Christ and after the Word of God. And after, you know, the way that God made you. I mean, I don't believe that God wants me to be like my father, but there's certain earthly attributes that are in my father. He was never a believer. I know that, you know, there's some things about me that I remind people of who knew my father. When I go home, and my brothers and I, we have a reunion, you know, which is very rare, but whenever we get together and have a reunion, and we're all in the room, and we're just sitting there relaxing and telling stories about the old times, and no one smiles, right? No one cracks a smile. We're having a great time. We love it. And, you know, we learn to keep straight face. And the more we talk about Dad, the more straight our faces become, because Dad never smiled. But he was the funniest person. Oh, he was the funniest person. I wish I could tell you some of the stories about Dad, but none of them are acceptable here in a place like the church. But I will tell you something. He just kept the straightest face, and a lot of people wondered, is he being serious or is he not being serious? And they say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. But we must serve him in the way that God made us and be glad. And we must stay behind his word. There are certain rules and guidelines that apply to all of us, and we all have to follow them while we're in this earthly journey here, because the enemy would like to make life different for you, make life difficult for you. And that's the way that God did it. So Brother Branham's letting us know that in the world to come, he said, there's going to be a variety over there. There's going to be people in different positions doing different things over there. And he said the world, in the world to come, he said it'll be a place of variety as well. Now, so we look at Revelation 19, chapter 1, and this is where, again, John is moving into the cycle of describing things way out in the future. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, and salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God. So this is out now beyond our time, and there are still 24 elders out there. And these are elders because they are held in a respected place, in a special place. And they fell down and worshiped God. The four beasts are over on this other side, and they sat on the throne. And in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And I will tell you that the wife of the king is treated a little bit differently than maybe every other woman in the kingdom. 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So we have armies, we have the bride, we have the elders, we have the beasts that are there. We have, the voice of many people that are there, all in heaven. It seems like it's just multitudes of different ones that are gathered over on the other side. Then Brother Branham asked this question in 1964, and this is a great question. If you want to research this a little bit more, this is a great question to look at, because they're asking Brother Branham the question, where did the spirits go after they were cast out of the swine, or out of the legion over near Gadara? And when that legion of spirits was cast out of that man, where did they go? And Brother Branham takes a long time to go down through that answer. But he says, and it comes all the way down through here, because the spirits, he said, they don't die. When they were cast out of legion, they didn't die. They found a swine to go into, and they ran down into the hill, into the ocean there. And so Brother Branham talks about how that spirits, they just move on from generation to generation, and they all come out until the end, when they're all cast into the lake of fire. Because that's what the lake of fire was created for, was for the devil and his angels. So he comes all the way down through, and he describes all these spirits moving down towards the end, and then they come to their final end out in the lake of fire. But he says, now for the people of God, he says, now this light on top of the mountain will not light the whole world, He said it'll only lighten the city, but it can be seen in the distance of 1,000 miles maybe, but it won't lighten the earth, because the Bible said in the new world that from one new moon to the other will the people come up to the city to worship, and they will be outside the city, but not the bride. So we have a people who are outside the city, and we have the bride who are inside. But the people that come up in the second resurrection will be tillers of the soil, like Adam was, carers of the garden, but the king and the queen will remain in the city. Interesting. So there's a lot in here that we can consider when it comes to how God's going to structure it all in heaven. I'm going to wrap it up. The harvest time, Brother Branham said, he makes us different, and we're told in the Bible that the stars are different from one another, and you know there is a difference in heaven. There's a difference in heaven. In angelic beings, there is angels, cherubims, seraphims. You remember there were some that were very close to God, that were incense burners, very close to God. Satan was one of these in his early days. And he said, and there are differences there, and we are all different as well. God made heavenly creatures differently, makes us different. God has big mountains, plains, prairies, grasses, grass, deserts, water. He's different. He's a God of variety. And look at his people here this morning. Some of us, white, black, brown, yellow, some red. It's his people. And he's a God of variety. And I think he has the same thing among his ministers. No two ministers that are alike, that's for sure. No matter how hard even people try to be alike. Matthew chapter 5. Where whosoever therefore shall break one of these least of the commandments. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is kind of like the basis for Jesus' teaching now about our conduct and our way of living and our way of thinking on the earth. And he begins to lay out many fundamental principles that are very wonderful and easy to understand for the most part. And he says, where whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so shall he be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So now we have some that are called great and some that are the least in the kingdom of heaven. Again, we'd have to let God sort that out, because it wouldn't be in our place. It wouldn't be by our criteria as to who is great and who's least in the kingdom. I just want to be there. Questions and answers number 4, 1964. He said, will the prophet of Malachi 4, will he be the one to call out the Gentile remnant of Revelation 7:9, even though they go through the tribulation period? He says, no. And again, now, we could stop and we could elaborate on lots of these scriptures related to the book of Revelation, because they're all interesting teachings in themselves. But he's simply going through some of these short answered questions. He says, no. After Revelation 7 is where he's seen the 144,000 sealed. So the angel of Malachi 4 was not the one to call out those after the 144,000. He's here before the gospel goes back to the Jews, right? What he's referring to here is the prophet of Malachi 4. That's Brother Branham. So will Brother Branham be around to call out the remnant after Revelation chapter 7:9, even though they go through the tribulation period? Let me tell you, Brother Branham will not be around after the tribulation period to take the sleeping virgin anywhere. No, he says after Revelation 7 is where he's seen the 144,000 sealed. And after that he saw coming up, and back was the great number which no man could number, which was the bride. So John saw that in a vision here. Brother Branham played his part in calling the bride of this last age, and all that bride is added with the bride of all the other ages. And then John saw them in Revelation after the 144,000 was sealed, and he saw them in that vision, and he said that was a number which nobody could number. But Brother Branham was not to come back to the earth, or Malachi 4 is not to come back to the earth and call them back. These are all gathered in their season, in their time, and they wait until, of course, the marriage supper. That's the first thing we're going to do, right? Then after that, be the millennium. And after that, new heavens and new earth. Brother Branham said, like Uzziah trying to usurp the place of an anointed office, because he was a big fellow, big fellow. And among God's people, there is no big fellows. We're all children of God. God gives one of us one thing to do and another thing to do. That doesn't make us any better than anybody else. Now, let me conclude and say this. That's my last slide. Let me conclude and say this. I believe that when we get over there, God's people who are all wearing the same robe, in other words, we got there through the blood of Christ with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the life of Christ on the inside of us, when we get over there, we will have worship for only one. And that's our Redeemer. That's Christ. I believe that we will not have any worship of prophets or other great men and women that have gone on before us. I believe we'll have worship and praise for only one. That's Christ. Will there be kings there? The Bible says there will be. Will there be people outside the city? The Bible says there will be. Will there be people that are carers of the soil, keepers of the soil? The Bible says there will be. So there's an order over there that somehow God's got in mind that the way it's going to be. But I'll tell you what, when you think about where all of this winds up and how it's all described, the best thing you could be, I think, is a part of the bride. Because you get to spend forever and ever with Him in the palace. Forever and ever. Without end. Without any thought of one day it'll be over. To me, to be called as a member of the Bride of Christ, what a glorious thing. And you can imagine, you know, when you get over there on the other side, you know, when you come here to church, we're all so familiar with one another. Until people start switching seats, then it gets really confusing. Here's old Mark and Sister Jackie sitting back in the back there with three children and they're not their own. You know, you do a double take and you look at that. And here's a guy who was over here tonight. He was over here this morning, and I gotta. And but you know, we know one another. We take it for granted that we know one another. We're juggling around a little bit, but we're all here. Imagine, I mean, you have to think a little bit about what it would be like when we get over there. And based on the statement that Brother Brandon made here, even though you never knew them, you will know them when you get over there. Imagine sitting in that big congregation, or standing in that congregation, however we do it. And you're over there and you're working your way towards the front because you want to, I mean, you're just excited to be there and you're happy to be there and you bump into somebody, excuse me, Martin Luther. Or excuse me, Susanna Wesley. And you know, you're just working your way up through the front there. And you know everybody who's there because you're given the divine ability to know everybody who's there. And you look around and you think, wow, what a gathering that would be. I mean, it's really kind of exciting, really, when you think about it. Here are musicians that follow David and they come up and they play. And you know, they take their harps off the platform, and they begin to play, and this you know, anointed music comes, and here's David stands up to lead the singing, and he's leading these choruses out of the book of Psalms. And you think you're going to call on somebody to pray, and they call this solemn fellow to come up and pray, and he stands there, and you look, and you say, it's Daniel in the lion's den. And you think about, you know, tonight we're going to have, for 7 nights, we're going to have the 7 church age messengers come. I'd like to hear Paul preach, wouldn't you? I'd be on the front row for that one. I mean, nobody go to sleep in that service. You hear Paul take the book, you know, take the New Testament and open it up. Here's the one who wrote it. You know, and he begins to exhort on the New Testament, you know, and this is how I knew that Christ of the old, Jehovah of the Old Testament was Jesus of the New, and begin to share his testimony. And then Irenaeus and Columba and, you know, all of the coming down, Martin Luther and Wesley, and then Brother Branham gets up there. How many of you would like to be in the service where Brother Branham spoke? My goodness, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? And then Moses takes the, let's stand to our feet. Let's stop there. Let's stand to our feet. And Moses preaching and comes up with his notes on 2 pieces of stone, lays them on the pulpit. We make light of it a little bit, but you know, all those people over there, and you know who they are, and they're all there for the one reason. They're all there under the same banner. They're all there because of the same token, and they're all there. And despite all the great people that will be there through the ages, and you'll be there too, and all the loved ones that have gone on before you, and they're all waiting on over on the other side, and you'll all know them even as young people, and you get over there, and you know what? It'll be all secondary to when Jesus himself stands there and comes out, and the Bible says he wipes away every tear, and And there'd be no more sorrow, no more remorse, no more at all. And he comes out and speaks to us. Imagine what that would be like to be in an audience where that actually takes place. Imagine how the feeling that would be to be in an audience where he is and he comes in. We can't really imagine that. We can't really think about how great that will be. And I will tell you, in answer to the question, which is a very good question that was asked, and it involves a lot of different things, but I would just say this, that when it comes to an order, we know that God is a God of order. And even though we have variety in His creation, God has order in His house. And you can see that that's probably what we're, the way we're living and the way we set things up now is probably a reflection of how things are going to be over there. But I will say this for sure. I guarantee you that when we get over there, we'll worship one and only one. And that'll be Jesus Christ Himself. What will it be when we get over yonder? Let's sing that chorus this evening here. What will it be when we get over yonder and join that throng upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? What heaven means to me. Sing it again now. What will it be when we get over yonder to see? Crown Christ forever. Yes, this is just what heaven means. Sing it again one more time. Sounds good. Oh, what will it be when we on that glassy sea, and we'll greet our loved ones, crown Christ forever. Yes, this is just what heaven Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Every day, I'm walking with the King. Oh, hallelujah. I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Is that see? Walking with the King. Oh, hallelujah. Walking with the King. Just every day, I'm walking with the King. One more time. Oh, hallelujah. Walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Yes, I'm walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Just every day, I'm walking with the King. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Well, I can hear the rustle. Move is on, so move on, brother, and move on, sister, this is the moving day.
the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Once again. Yes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Give him a hand clap of praise. It's Jesus I really want to see. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, you're in that great congregation. I've stood in the White House. I've been in the Pope's auditorium. You know, where he comes out and individually greets the people. I've been there. And, you know, the dignitaries and all the rest of it is nice. But, you know, you're waiting for that person to come out. And I'll tell you what, as good as it'll be over on the other side, imagine being in that room and saying, you know, but it's Jesus I really want to see. Because, you know, all those great men of God that have come before us, and all those ministers and prophets and elders and all the rest of them, they all pointed to one. If they were real men of God, they didn't point to themselves. They pointed to Christ. And when that day comes, folks, they'll be saying, hey, don't pat us on the back. He's the one that deserves all the praise and all the glory. Yes, sir. It's Jesus I read. Want to see. It's Jesus that I really want to see. And the more I see of this world, the less that I really want to see. One more time. Sing it now. Yes, it's Jesus that I really want to see. It's Jesus I really Heavenly Father, what joy awaits your people, Lord, gathered over on the other side. And Lord, even David said, if he was a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, that would be good enough for him. Whatever our position, whatever our role, as long as we are there, as long as we are gathered with the redeemed, as long as we have that robe of righteousness, not our own, but what you have done for us, Lord. What a blessing, what a great honor and a privilege it'll be to gather with those that have paid the price and gone before us. Father, I pray that you would just bless each family, each individual represented here tonight. Lord, be the healer for those that need healing tonight. Be encouragement, I pray, to those that may be, Lord, going through a valley of despondency, Lord. And you just be the one, Lord, that meets every need and touches every heart. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor because you deserve it all. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love what you have in store for us. We love how you've brought us this far. But Lord, we love what you have in store for us. And so in the name of Jesus tonight, I commit the people into your hands. Bind our hearts together in love and lead us in your perfect will. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. And amen. We have food for everybody. We have service Wednesday night. And we want you to sing this as you go tonight. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. And the more I see of this world, the less it means to me. It's Jesus that I really want to see. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks. Because of what the Lord has